Hi everyone, welcome back to Channel Your Influence. It's day 45 of quarantine. I think I stopped counting and I'm at that weird stage where I'm finally adapting to this twisted new reality we're living in. I feel really weird saying that because I shouldn't be adapting to it. But also, being in quarantine feels weirdly like being in an airplane. You know, like I'm just wearing the same clothes every day. I'm eating the same snacks. I'm watching the same shows. Like I'm sitting all the time and it just feels like I'm in a plane that won't land, you know? Anyway, I'm like losing it. But this is a really great episode. I'm so excited that I finally got this episode edited. I actually recorded it back in January, so this was recorded before quarantine. I'm interviewing Noni Gazembi, who is a good friend. She's actually one of the first Connecticut bloggers that I became friends with, and she's just so inspiring. She's an APRN, a blogger, an entrepreneur. She is the founder of CT Bloggers Collective, and she's also the founder of the new podcasting studio, The Content Lab. So I actually recorded this episode in The Content Lab. I remember I interviewed her after work and we just sat there and we talked for hours. She's just a really nice person and she's so humble and down to earth. I don't know how she does it all. Like, I really don't, because this girl is always busy. She's also giving a lot of great advice in this episode. So she hosts regular events in the area. She actually hosted an event during the holidays, which I attended. It was so fun. So she's giving tips on how to host a blogger event and how to get sponsors and how to work with vendors. She's also talking about her full-time job as a nurse. We're also going to be talking about Fashion Week. So it's a great episode and I hope you guys enjoy. And now let's get into it. I am so excited for our next guest, Noni Gazembi. She is actually one of the first Connecticut blogger friends that I made. And now she is a friend outside of blogging as well. Noni?
Hello. Hi, everyone. I am a lifestyle blogger here in Connecticut.
Yes, she's a blogger, entrepreneur. She kicks ass. Honestly, just look up to her because she does so much. I feel like such a lazy person compared to her. She does so much. No, really. After this podcast, you'll see what I mean. Noni is an APRN, a style blogger. She owns the Content Lab, which is actually where we are recording right now. Thank you so much for launching this space, by the way, because I have been wanting a podcast space for a while. And it's one of the reasons why I procrastinated on launching my podcast was because I needed a space for it. And she launched it. She launched a space for bloggers, entrepreneurs to come in here and record a podcast.
Yes. It's so exciting. Of course, I partnered with Anissa Teich of West Hartford Co-working, and we came up with this concept of this content curation studio. And not only can you podcast here, which is great, but you can also rent it as a photography studio for portrait like studio photography. You can also rent it as a video blogger suite, which is also exciting because we have lighting and all the tools, you know, you need to bring that content to life. So we're excited.
Yeah, it's an awesome space. And Noni is also the creator of CT Bloggers Collective, which is a blogger group in Connecticut. Without further ado, we'll get into the questions. So Noni, tell me about yourself, your childhood. Let's go way back.
So I was born in Buluwayo, Zimbabwe, which is in the southernmost part of Africa. It is right above South Africa. And we're a landlocked country, very temperate, very savanna. If you've been to South Africa, maybe you got a glimpse of what Zimbabwe is like, but it's quite a different landscape. I lived there until I was 11. And then my family moved here because the economy in Zimbabwe completely crashed. And thank God for my parents. They made huge sacrifices and got us all here to the United States because they knew that there was free education here as far as like elementary school and high school. And also they wanted everyone in our family to be able to go to college because Zimbabwe college is exclusive for literally the smarty pants, smart people who have enough money to pay for it. So I'm really thankful for that part. And then I moved from Buluwayo, Zimbabwe, moved to Idaho. Southeast Idaho, a small town named called Pocatello, Idaho.
What was that like?
Oh my gosh. It was so crazy.
Cultural shock.
Huge culture shock. I think maybe if we had gone from, you know, Zimbabwe to the East Coast or something, maybe it would have been a better transition. But if, you know, for people who aren't aware of like Idaho and Utah, there's a huge Mormon population and that's its own subculture, like complete subculture. In addition to just being a very monotonous area, there weren't many people of color, period, there. And so I really felt out of place. And it was the first time in my life that I had felt completely out of place. But I learned a lot. We lived there for 3 years. My mom got a couple of master's degrees while we were there, and my dad as well. My brothers went to college there, and then we moved to Orlando, Florida.
Which is where I'm from.
Yes. We moved to Orlando, Florida. I did my junior and senior year of high school in Orlando. I graduated from University High School in Florida. And as like my mom was doing her PhD there, that was a great time. Graduated high school. And then I moved to Washington State and went to college, which was exciting.
And how did your experience in Washington compare to Florida and Idaho?
Oh my gosh. It was a very different. Idaho, of course, was Idaho. It was very monotonous in, you know, the type of people that you'd see there. Well, Orlando, I met a lot of Caribbean people for the first time in my life. I never met Caribbean people. So I met a lot of Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and Jamaicans and all these like Latin American countries. I was just so shocked. There was a lot of diversity. And then moving back to the West Coast to Washington, I moved to a small town that was predominantly of one faith, like religious faith. And so that was another subculture that I guess I grew up in that faith, but it was still another culture. I had to catch my bearings a little bit and figure out where I was and what was happening, because I went from just being normal to super religious town with super religious school.
I mean, you had to adapt to that and make friends in that environment.
Right, correct. And I went by myself. All the people who went to that school went to like elementary school and high school together and went to these different like academies, like private academies together. And it was just me coming from the West, like the East Coast, to this town called Walla Walla, Washington, like out of nowhere.
Someone else's hometown. Yeah, you moved to someone else's hometown, exactly. Which is exactly what I did.
Exactly.
Moving to Connecticut.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So how did you end up in Connecticut?
You know, I went to school in Washington, of course. I did 5 years there. When I went to college, I was actually 16. And so, you know, starting as a freshman in college and you're 16 years old, I still had like a couple years of growing that other people, you know, had already gone through. And I didn't see it as being, you know, that couple years being valuable. But now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was such a tard. Like, I had to like figure things out. But I graduated after 5 years with a nursing degree. I started as a biology pre-med major. But, you know, when I went to college, I always wanted to be a fashion designer. That was like my thing. Like, I wanted to be a fashion designer. Being a biology pre-med major was just not doing it for me. Biology was not doing it for me. Mm-hmm. So I did that the first year. Then I transferred to the nursing program the second year. And the last 2 years of your, like, the course of the curriculum, you actually moved to Portland, Oregon. And my world, like, opened up in Portland. I was just like, what is happening? Where have I been? I could live here forever. It was like hipsters and foodies and just like young people who literally move to Portland and retire early. People were like expressing themselves and people are so friendly in Portland. It was just an eye-opener. I ended up moving back to Walla Walla after graduating, started my first job as a nurse. I lived there for 2 years. And all this time of me like doing my thing, my mom had moved from Florida to South Dakota and then from South Dakota to Connecticut while I was in college. And she is a professor at one of the schools here, or was a professor at one of the schools here. And if I came and did my grad program here, I would have gotten like free tuition. So that was like the pull of moving across country again to go to graduate school, which all didn't quite work out the way that I planned. But here I am with a grad degree.
And I'm so glad you're here. Yeah. In Connecticut. Okay. So when you moved here, what were your first thoughts, like initial thoughts about Connecticut?
Initial thoughts, well, oh man. Also, I moved here to go to graduate school. I hadn't been accepted, by the way. I applied and I did the interview and I was declined acceptance to one of the schools. So I moved here. I was moving here anyway. I had sold everything that I owned. I had like told my landlord that I'm leaving and I got declined and I was like, well, you know, I'm going to move anyway because not only am I going to grad school, but I'm going to make my blog better. I'm going to open a blog, Noni's World, and it's going to be amazing. So I moved here and I think I expected, I don't know what I expected. I think I expected that, you know, it would be a little easier to connect with other bloggers and it'd also be a little easier to grow my blog. But when I got here, I felt like I was in a desert and I really didn't have friends and I had nowhere to find friends because I didn't have a job, by the way. I didn't have a job. I didn't have grad school. I just had my mom and my brother and that was it. So I felt like it was a desert.
Yeah.
I felt alone.
I can definitely relate to that. That's exactly how I felt when I moved to Connecticut. Yeah. Like I just didn't know anyone. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to make friends here.
Right.
And I think it was you who reached out to me first
on
Instagram.
Yeah.
I think it was back in like 2015. You reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And I was just so glad that I knew another Connecticut blogger who wanted to talk to me.
Right.
And didn't think they were, you know, too good to reach out to a smaller blogger. So.
Right.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you decide to launch CT Bloggers Collective?
Oh, gosh.
So was that sort of the starting point for you, feeling like there wasn't enough community?
Yeah. So yes and no. The starting point was actually Yinka. And I know a lot of people are like, who the heck is Yinka? Yinka is a blogger here. She's at Yours Truly Yinka. She was also starting out blogging and she reached out to me because I was using the hashtag CT blogger and she found me on Instagram, reached out to me and she's like, hey, I know this is super weird, but I would like to like schedule a coffee date with you and see if maybe we could meet up and maybe talk about blogging. And I was like, okay, sure. Me and my 500 followers will come and just chat with you about blogging, you know? So we went to like Starbucks here in Connecticut. All the small towns have centers at West Hartford Center. Went to Starbucks and we just started talking about blogging. And just that one-hour meeting, like literally like I had fireworks going off because this is the first time I had met another blogger in my blogging career, which was very short-lived. I had an old blog back in the day that I did because I don't, you know, whatever. And so she's just like, hey, you know, we talked about all sorts of stuff. And she's like, we need to do this more often. We need to find other bloggers. So I did that with another blogger who's here as well. Her name is Rachel and she has a blog called Pinteresting Plans. She's one of the biggest bloggers in Connecticut at this time. But back then she was also just starting out and we had something in common because she was a nurse practitioner and I was a nurse. And so we scheduled like a photo date and we went and did photos and I was like, wow, this is really great. Because, you know, as you're talking to someone like other bloggers, little nuggets of information just get passed on to you of how you can improve being a blogger or whatever the case may be. And that's kind of what happened. I was getting these little nuggets from all these different people. So I just started doing that more frequently. Finally, after meeting maybe like 12 bloggers, it kind of capped off. I couldn't find any more bloggers. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way that there's 12 bloggers in the state. There's no way. And I was just like, you know what? There's a CT blogger account. I'll just wait till they start uploading again so they can share more bloggers in the state. And I just sat there and twiddled my thumbs and kept waiting and waiting to find more bloggers until like 2 a.m. on like, I think in 2017, it was like 2 a.m. I was studying for school and I'm like, you know what? We need like a community, like some account on Instagram where we can just share who is a blogger in the state. And I made a quick logo on Canva and I threw it up and I shared three bloggers, like literally three bloggers that I found in the state. Like I just reposted their photos and hashtag CT blogger, and the account grew legs and started walking and talking from there. And that's just how Connecticut Bloggers Collective started.
I love that story because it just reinforces the idea that you just have to start and not keep waiting around for someone else to do it.
Exactly.
Just do it. Yeah. If you want to create that community, if you want that community, sometimes you have to create it yourself.
Exactly.
And you used Canva, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with using Canva. It's free. It's convenient. It's easy.
Right. And you'd be so surprised how many professionals are actually using Canva for corporations these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it's such a great resource. And like you said, it's free. Yeah.
Yeah. So CT Bloggers has been around for almost 3 years now.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
What are some of the lessons you've learned? Highs and lows. There have been a lot of highs. You've done so many great events, and I've met a lot of people through your events, which is awesome. But it can be a lot of work to manage a community like this, especially because you're not necessarily making money off of it either.
Correct. Yeah.
You're doing this in addition to your full-time job, which is being a nurse. So how do you balance both?
Well, so Connecticut Bloggers, of course, Collective has, like I said, grew legs and started walking and talking. It grew from just being a repost page to people requesting us to like brunch. And I was like, oh, I've done events before. Yeah, let's host a brunch. So in August of 2017, we had our first brunch. And it was just 25 people because I needed to pace myself. And then in December of that same year, I was like, let's do a big holiday party. And we hosted a holiday party with 100 people. And I was like, okay, I can do this. But it was very stressful for sure.
And that was an awesome holiday party. Yes, there were panelists.
Yes, it was the first one. There were panelists. There was like a panel discussion. Mm-hmm. And it was at a new restaurant that, you know, they were closed on a certain day. So they let us use the space on that day. You know, so now it's become this thing where we have like a Facebook group where we share resources. We have threads. You know, we also do a lot of events and, well, not a lot. I would say this year we had three big events. And, you know, this past year, I should say 2019, we had three big events. And then, you know, going into 2020, we're re-strategizing and we are just going with what's happening in the market. People love big events, yes, but people are like, they're craving interaction and they're craving community and they're craving that one-on-one time, and that can really be lost in a big event. So we're working to create these small curated events. So like balancing CT Bloggers and my life outside of that, because I still have my own blog and I still have my own consulting agency for social media, and I still have a full-time job as a nurse practitioner in a very demanding environment. I have learned that you have to find people in your life who excel at the things you are horrible at. I was having a really hard time juggling everything. I hired a personal assistant, and because it was worth it, I was like, I can't engage on social media. I don't have time for that. So I need someone who's going to do social media and help me with events. So I delegated that out. And then, you know, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with Connecticut Bloggers. I'm trying to develop almost like a board for Connecticut Bloggers, where we have different people who are different bloggers who are experts in some area. So we had Caitlin Houston, who was doing the Facebook group for a really long time, and she was the admin for that. That took a lot off my hands. And now it's Lydia Abate, who is doing the Facebook group, and that still keeps that out of my hands. So it's just delegating out what you can, finding people who have strengths in the areas you're weak, and sometimes not getting enough sleep.
Right.
But, you know, I try my best to balance everything by outsourcing.
Right. And that's helped you scale CT Bloggers and take it to the next level and to stay afloat.
Correct. Yeah.
So talk to me about the last event. How did that go? The last holiday event. I thought it was amazing. It was so much fun. Like I said, it was a holiday party. Mm-hmm. And it was right here in the content lab. There was a Korean beauty experience, tons of great food. Dunkin' Donuts was a sponsor. How did you go about planning this event? And what advice would you give to somebody who wants to create a blogger event?
The first thing I would say is to stay organized and plan ahead. The more you can do in advance, even little things, the less you have to worry about in the last moments, you know. So stay very organized. Make sure you overtell people, overtell information so that everyone is kind of sort of in the loop of what's happening. I still suck at it, but I feel like if I overtell people, then everyone kind of has an idea of what's happening. I'm not really skilled at that yet, but I'm working on it. And give yourself plenty of time. A lot of time just takes away so much stress. If you're trying to do things short notice, it can be very, very difficult.
You had so many vendors, 10 vendors, right?
Yeah, and use social media to your advantage. Social media takes away so much stress from my plate. You know, when I need vendors, I literally put out a PSA hey guys, I'm in need of vendors. If you'd like to apply, please email, this and this. And then when it comes to emailing, what has changed the game for me are templates, email templates. You literally send out an email template. You just copy and paste. All you're changing is dear whoever. It really can help you get hours worth of work done very quickly. So vendors would respond and I would send them this template and it would take me minutes. It's so quick. And I'd send them this template, let them know. So the great thing is vendors in Connecticut really want to be in front of blogger eyes. They see the value in putting their products in front of people who are influential, who can then put the products in front of other people. So they really see the value. So we never have, there's always tons and tons of vendors who are applying. It's just, if I see a vendor that I like right away, I just write them on the list. Although I'm sending you this email that will let you know you're already on my list. I already like you. I think you'll fit this event. And so a lot goes into event planning. This one was the most challenging event I've ever planned, only because I usually do it at a restaurant. And restaurants, they already have the ambiance. They already have all the silverware and the cutlery. I only have to pick out the food. And I'm like, this is what I want. And they'll just do everything to your specifications. Whereas this time I had to do everything. And that was just overwhelming for me. I had to find a caterer. I had to
set up.
I had to rent tables. I had to buy linens. Everything was on us versus it being on someone else, which is not the way that I would suggest to ever do an event, but we wanted to show off the content lab. And so this was the way that we had to do it. We had to move everything around and, take away the office-y feel of the co-working space and make it into a party feel, which it was difficult. It was very challenging. You were there to help, thank goodness. But, we were able, I think, to at the end kind of pull it together. And when you're creating a blogger event, just word to the wise, bloggers like cute. That's literally all you have to think. Bloggers want vignettes. They want something cute. They want that photo op. And so if you can create as many photo ops as you possibly can, you are heading in the right direction because we're content creators. If we can go to a space and there's a photo op already there, some type of vignette that's been curated just to take photos, we're super happy. So I really have learned how to tailor my events to bloggers. So we created this awesome vignette with all the sparkly stuff. And I got this rug and a balloon installation just to be above and beyond. And custom stuff is always great too. So
yeah. And I have a photo of that vignette on my feed. If you scroll back. But yeah, that was so pretty. And it was definitely designed for Instagram, which is something to keep in mind if you are creating an event. You've got to have that one section where people want to take photos and share.
Right.
Starting CT Bloggers, and of course, Connecticut is a small state.
Right.
And there's a lot of opportunities for collaborations, which is great. Connecting with small businesses. There are lots of small businesses around here that are just amazing. shout out to Eversense and Jenna Leanne Boutique and just some of the other vendors that you had here. What are some of the challenges you've faced being in such a small town? Like Hartford, we're in Hartford for those who are not familiar with Connecticut. And it can feel a little stifling sometimes.
So, you know, I think the biggest challenge of being in a small place is that everyone knows everyone. And so if there's something negative out there about, you know, you or your collective or your brand or whatever, somehow, you know, that information can get into the hands of someone that you might potentially want to work with or, you know, and you might feel like your reputation is kind of at hand, kind of, you know, your reputation is kind of, you know, being tossed around in like a hot potato or something. So, you know, that can also be your advantage, though, that everyone knows everyone. Some of the challenges I think I've faced are criticisms in regards to like different things about CT bloggers. Day-to-day challenges are, you know, our platform on Instagram, our main, like our bread and butter is, you know, what we're known for is reposting bloggers within the state. It's supposed to be almost like a visual directory to bloggers around, you know, Connecticut. Some of the criticisms we've faced are, you know, people say, I always tag CT bloggers or hashtag CT blogger babes, and I've never been reposted. I'm just like, you have to understand the volume is like, you know, we get tagged, you know, at least between 10 to 50 times a day sometimes. And so it's hard to keep up with the volume because I'm just doing this on my spare time. This is not like a paid gig for me. And I also have a full-time job. So it's hard to keep up with the volume. Some people, you know, some of the other criticisms are, you know, our events are too expensive and, you know, you might be pocketing that money in that in your, you know, and I'm just like, it's just so frustrating because if number one, you're telling me you have no event sense once whatsoever, events are incredibly expensive and everyone has to be paid. Like, you know, if for instance, this recent holiday party, you know, the DJ had to be paid, the bartender had to be paid, the caterer had to be paid, you know, the decor that we're getting has to be purchased, you know, drinks had to be purchased, linens have to be purchased, you know, it's all these things really just add up. And so I'd be lucky sometimes to break even on an event. Sometimes I go into the red. And so it just can be really frustrating to hear criticism from people who actually don't really know what they're talking about.
Right, the haters.
Yeah. And yeah. So
the jealous haters.
Exactly. I'm just like, oh. Gosh.
And I think what bothers me most about that is that it's okay if you are making money from the event. You're putting your time. Right. You're putting the time to organize this. Right. You're taking time out of your day to organize this.
Yeah.
You're taking several days to organize this, to find the vendors, find the sponsors.
Yes.
The caterers, like you should
it's
be
like
paid
a
for.
Month and a half of intense work
for an event,
right?
For other people,
yeah.
And it's if anything, you should be paid for it.
Yeah, and so. That's truly how I feel. But I think for me, I think this is what kind of sets entrepreneurs aside, like apart from like people who work jobs or who do stuff just to do it. Is I see the goal, I see the vision, I see where I'm trying to go with this community, and like. This is just part of the journey. And some of this is just learning, you know, I'm learning as I go. I would love to not be in the red or break even. I'd love to make a profit and, you know, but I see where I'm going and my vision of where this is going is even greater than this small like setback, you know? So whereas if it's like a job, you're just like, peace out. This is not working. Bye. You know?
Right.
So
what is your vision for CT bloggers?
Oh, gosh. So my always vision has been to make CT bloggers an official platform. That is literally always been my goal, like a membership. Like you literally have a login portal where you go in and you can access this curated member experience where we have resources for you, like e-courses on how to, like what's changing with Instagram, for instance, because there's always lots of changes there all the time, how you can use Pinterest to monetize or how you can use Pinterest to drive more traffic, for instance, your blog. E-courses, I would love, love, love to partner with some of the local artists because they're such talented people in just Hartford, Connecticut, just to like create custom merch, like merchandise that is like curated for bloggers. And, you know, I just want to take this space to the next level, an online community board, you know, a space where we can share, you know, how to grow and blah, blah, blah. My vision is just taking this and making it an official platform where people are like, I'm a member officially.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I can totally see you doing that. Yeah. You're a connector. You're a natural connector. You're a collaborator. You love bringing people together. And this right. just seems like a natural right. transition, next level yeah. for CT bloggers. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your full-time job. Oh, okay. So you said that you outsource a lot for CT bloggers.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, do you focus more on your full-time job? Is the goal to sort of quit your job one day and do this full-time?
That is the goal. And I'm super happy that I'm brave enough to say that.
I am too. That's great. Yeah.
I'm like super happy I'm brave enough to say that just because I feel as if, you know, I've received a lot of judgy comments in regards to you have the skill of essentially saving people's lives and why would you step away from that? The truth is it's overwhelming. It is incredibly stressful. The environment can be like the culture of the hospital can sometimes be really toxic. And so, you know, the hours are just physically like, it's like you're being tormented with the hours at times. So, you know, like at minimum, I work 14 hour shifts. At most, I'll work like between 14 and 15 or 16 or 17 hour shifts. So it can be a lot. And the schedule is not easy. It's pretty brutal. And mind you, after you work a 14 hour day, even if you have the next day off, your body is like, what is happening? I'm just trying to recover, you know, like give me time to like rest. So, I mean, it's kind of a strange thing because I actually love what I do. I love taking care of people and I love, you know, seeing people through. And I'm such a relationship person that like I love forming these relationships with my people. I work in an ICU. So most of the people are ventilated on, you know, with like a breathing tube and induced comas or sometimes just comatose. So seeing them through them being super duper sick to like getting them out of that acute phase to where they're like talking and sometimes walking, you know, and like interacting with us. I actually love that aspect of it. I think what I don't like is just the environment. At times it can be very judgy and it can feel very toxic. You know, you're just trying to do your job and do it to the best of your ability, but now you have to deal with personalities and politics. And sometimes it doesn't feel supportive. So like it just kills things for me. It's just made like the last couple of months I've been on a foreign unit. And it's just made my life so difficult. And I've had more anxiety in the last couple of months than I've had all year. Debilitating anxiety where I felt like I was going crazy. And it's just from, you know, just being in a toxic space. And, you know, I can't wait to like transition out of, you know, this. And I don't know if it's just this career or that's just the environment I'm in into something else where I can be happier and less anxious and, you know, have my mental health intact. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is so important. And I like how you talked about taking care of others because that's just, when I think of you, you are such an empathetic, selfless person, but are you taking care of yourself?
Oh.
Are you prioritizing yourself? And what are you doing for self-care?
So recently for my self-care, so what I did for most of the year and most of my life is when I encountered something that was like traumatic or a problem, I was like an expert at like pulling out a drawer in my brain, putting it away, taping it shut, and forgetting about it.
Compartmentalizing. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I compartmentalize. I'm an expert. But then, you know, I started to unearth. I went to Africa in September, maybe August, in August of this year. It was amazing. I went to Africa and I realized that I just walk a fine line. Like, even when I'm compartmentalizing, like, I'm still so close to the edge at all times. And, like, I feel like anything can kind of, like, make me, like, you know, tip over and just kind of lose it. So because of that, I decided that after I came back from Africa, I was going to find a therapist and actually start working through some of the things that, you know, some of my issues with someone who hopefully would be, like, pretty impartial and be a really good sounding board and whatever. So I started going to therapy and it has unearthed, like, chaos in my life because all those things I was compartmentalizing, all of a sudden the drawers like flew open as I was like, you know, and I was so cautious at first because I felt like I was that type of person who was just walking the line. And if I dare enter into my emotions, I would like just lose it. So
I think everyone's afraid of that.
Yeah. So it unearthed quite the havoc in my brain. And I've been trying to like figure out ways to be really intentional with prioritizing myself. It actually has made me want to spend more time with myself and take, you know, the time to figure out, you know, who I am and not give so much of myself. Because I think what ended up happening is that I figured out that I was so empty because I'm always just like unloading all of me to everyone else. So now I'm just trying to figure out like little things even that just make me happy and bring me joy day to day. Like yesterday I went to Target and I found like one of those squishy balls. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. They like squeeze.
The work stress they, balls.
Yes. Yes. Squeeze. And like, anyway, so they were playing Hey Ya by Outkast. I don't know if you know that song.
Yes, of course.
Target.
Yeah.
It was the instrumental version. And I was with my mom and I'm like shaking this thing like a maraca. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah,
I was shaking this ball like a maraca and like running down the aisles. And I had so much fun. I ended up doing that for like three songs. And this is in Target. My mom is just walking behind me on her phone. She's like, anything, if it makes you happy, fine. But it just brought me so much joy. And I felt like
it's the little things.
Yeah, I just felt so free. And just being really intentional, making sure I prioritize like time with myself. I'm like a busybody. Like, I feel like if I'm not doing anything, I should be doing something. But now I'm like, it's okay to not do anything. It's okay to just sit here and stare out the window and like be with your thoughts. You know, it's okay for you to spend time with yourself. It's okay for you to not rush the nail lady at the nail salon because you have things to do. Because that's me. I'm like, how quickly can you get this done? Because I have to go somewhere, you know? And I'm like, no, you know, it's okay for me to sit there and just like allow her to massage my hands. Like, I will skip that because I have places to go, you know?
Oh, I would never skip that.
Oh, yeah.
That's so, the best part.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm really thankful for this, but I really have to go. Like, I have places to be. But, you know, taking trips and, like, I'm trying to just be really intentional about, like, doing things that actually feed my soul. Doing art. I'm like an artist and no one really knows that.
Really? I had no idea.
Yeah, I like love art. Like I used to paint all the time. I used to draw all the time. Like all my brothers, we all sketch. And I think it's all for my dad. He is like an incredible like sketch artist. So like we all sketch, we all do art. We all are like creative in some way. And so like getting back to like doing art, and I used to write poetry when I was in high school, like getting back to like writing. Like I love writing.
That's therapeutic.
It's so therapeutic. Mm-hmm. I write tons of poetry, just doing things that feed my soul. That's it.
Oh, I love it. I need to see your paintings.
Yeah.
And read your poetry. I had no idea.
Abstracts.
I can't draw at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like fun fact about me is that I can't draw. Like, I took a drawing class in college because I was interested in fashion design.
Right.
And I just couldn't do it. Like, my drawings looked horrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm better off writing about fashion than creating it, right. Apparently. But yeah. I'm so horrible at it. I mean, occasionally I'll go out to Muse for the paint night.
Yeah.
And I like it. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
But my paintings are just horrible looking. They're horrific. Muse? Yeah. They're really bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have the talent for it, I guess.
Right.
Let's go back to blogging.
Okay.
How long have you been blogging for?
I've been blogging since 2016 with Noni's World, but I had an old blog that's somewhere on the internet still that exists somewhere. I haven't checked on it in a while, though. And I blogged on that for 2 years from 2012 to 2014.
Nice. Yeah. And it's fashion, beauty.
Yes. That one was like fashion, DIY, because I loved DIY and beauty. Yeah.
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 And you've gone to Fashion Week because of your blog, which is great.
Yeah.
We've actually been to Fashion Week together. Yes. went to Fashion Week.
Super fun.
A couple years ago together. That was super fun.
And we ended up in the tiniest hotel room that did not look like that in pictures.
Yes. We split a hotel to save money and it was so worth it because we got to stay there for 3 days.
Right.
And it would have been so expensive if we had done it individually. Yeah, so it just made more sense to split it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We got to go to some shows.
Oh yeah. Super fun.
And then we took the train back.
Yeah.
Together. And then ended up in West Haven where we had to Uber.
This is true. It was still fun. The Uber wasn't actually that bad.
It wasn't that bad. It was actually relaxing.
Yeah, it was relaxing.
After, yeah. And it wasn't too expensive.
It wasn't.
So if you are a blogger wanting to go to Fashion Week, split the hotel with another blogger because it makes such a big difference.
Because Uber alone in the city is so expensive.
Yeah, we split Ubers too.
Like, it's so expensive. You will spend so much on Uber just Fashion Week. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with Fashion Week. Some seasons I love it. Other seasons I'm just like, this is such a waste of money. And then last season I just completely skipped it because I felt like it wasn't worth it.
Right.
So what is your opinion on Fashion Week?
Oh gosh. You know what? I'm really happy because I've had the experience where Fashion Week was awful for me, but I've actually also had the experience where Fashion Week was amazing for me. And this was after it being so awful. You know, the first time I went to Fashion Week, it was more, I had no expectations. It was my first time there. I had like 2 shows to attend and it was great. I went to this curly hair show called Texture the Runway the first time around, which is why I went essentially. And I got the greatest swag bag of my entire life. And I was like, if this is what Fashion Week is like all the time, I will be here. I mean, they gave us like 20 full-size products and a giant tote bag. It was great.
That sounds amazing. Full-size.
Yes, full-size. It was great. And I met so many incredible women. Some of them, actually, most all of them I'm still friends with. I met a blogger I'm going to see in a week. Her name's Freelancy, and she's from Seattle, Washington. She is awesome.
Oh, I think I follow her.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I met, you know, some other people. I stayed with a blogger I met at Blogger like a few months prior to that. And I stayed with her in Brooklyn and we had a great time. She was awesome. I had like no expectations. So it was a great time. The second time I went, was it like winter maybe? Yes, I went like for winter. And did I? Yeah.
Was it the winter one that you hated?
No, I think it was a fall one.
Oh, a fall one.
Yeah, it was a fall one.
Oh, I think that's the one where we went together.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So I went for a winter fashion week and it wasn't bad. It was okay. Like I had no complaints really because I still was fresh. And then I went again that same year for fall fashion week. And oh my gosh, I had the worst, literally the worst. It was like the best experience, but also the worst experience. And I think the worst stuff, like just the bad stuff really like outweighed the good. Thank God for that bad fashion week, you were there. Cause I'd be like, you never believe what happened today, you know? And it was just like, I had someone to like vent to. There was some really ugly times. And I remember that the third time I went to Fashion Week, I left there feeling so incredibly disgruntled. And, you know, there were times that I felt really humiliated at Fashion Week. For example, you know, I had partnered with a blogger from somewhere in the United States, and we were going to create a couple of events together that we were going to put on for, you know, a group of people. This blogger, not only did she kind of flake out, she just didn't show up and didn't even have the courtesy to say anything. I had to text this blogger and be like, hey, are you coming to this? And the blogger's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I kind of lost track of time. And I was ended up with someone, you know, essentially who was bigger and better than, you know, anyone who was going to this event, and just totally flaked. And I was just like, you know what? Okay, fine. But that same person ended up flaking twice on me in that same weekend where we planned something else, and that person just simply did not show up, period, and didn't have the courtesy to send like a, I'm so sorry, I can't make it, which made me feel very unimportant because it was a woman and it was a woman of color. You'd expect that, you know, the decency would be there for them, even if it was just anyone, just have the decency to just say, I can't make it. And you know, I had met a few bloggers in the second time at Fashion Week, and I saw them the third time I was there, and I was like, hey, how are you? You know, like going up to them with the same energy I had the last time I saw them. And I was met twice by two different people with a very cold shoulder. Like, and I thought it was in my head that I was being given the cold shoulder in that way, like until one of the times it happened with another like fellow CT blogger there. And she even had to be like, how well do you know this person? Why are they treating you like this? And I was just like,
wow,
here are the pictures to show that we were together for several days on, you know, the previous Fashion Week, brunching together, sharing Ubers, doing all sorts of stuff. So I'm also shocked that this is completely different. And that's just something you have to get used to. Like, everyone's just trying to get ahead of the next person. You know, everyone's going to flake. The fourth time I went back, I had an awesome time. I had the greatest time ever. And that's because I did everything by myself. I didn't rely on anyone whatsoever.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't let this experience, this horrible experience, ruin Fashion Week for you. But
right. It
is true that Fashion Week can just bring out the worst in people.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like, you can test someone's real character by just bringing them in Fashion Week and seeing what they're going to do. If they
correct. Because if, oh gosh, they're like, is it called a clout chaser? There's some people who are trying
clout chasers. Yeah.
They're just trying to like connect with, you know, big name bloggers to see what they can get from them. And with small fries like us, they kind of like push us to the side and don't really care. And shockingly, sometimes the small people is where you get the most valuable information. So, I mean,
agreed. You can learn from anyone, not just
anyone, you know, anyone. So,
yeah. I'm sorry you had that experience. Yeah. That's disgusting.
It was.
I mean, I've definitely encountered it in my experience as a blogger.
Absolutely.
Who is your inspiration? And do you have a mentor who has helped you? Because you've got so many different projects.
Right.
Has anyone helped you bounce ideas, helped you execute?
So my inspiration, there is a friend of mine who I went to college with. Her name is Abby Lagwadow, and she lives in Seattle, Washington. Abby was in college, she like was a president of a club. She studied graphic design. Her designs were impeccable. She graduated. She started a YouTube channel. She was vlogging. She became a mama of twins. She like navigated. She went through some hardships in her life, and she like navigated those with such vulnerability and ease, yet always taking her brand to the next level every time, like literally rebounding from those really like tough and sticky circumstances, and like she'd rebound and come back with something even better and greater than, you know, what she had before. Abby's also one of the reasons why I got the idea about the content lab. I had thought about doing like a boutique type of space where people could create like content, but she actually, when I last saw her, she actually had that space where she had a studio where she wanted to be like a content curation studio. And I was just like, holy crap, like this chick is just on fire. And that is literally she is someone I really look up to. And I think she is incredible. And it's crazy because I've known her a really long time. And I just admire her work ethic. I admire that she overcomes these incredibly tough circumstances and makes it look like nothing happened and just always keeps elevating and pushing herself. As far as a mentor, oh gosh, it almost makes me feel like I should have like a blogger mentor, but like someone who...
I feel like at this point you could be someone's mentor because you've done so much and you've made it look so effortless, the process.
Maybe, but I don't know if I have a blogger mentor, but I look up to my mom a lot. My mom has like overcome like incredible circumstances, and she still continues to like use her best asset, which is her brain. She's just so incredibly smart. And like my mom, she pushed me to go to grad school. She was like, you cannot sit back and be comfortable with a bachelor's degree, you know? And then like, she always is just always pushing me to do better. And like, she's like, oh, this is like the next level. Oh yeah, this is great. This is like taking... So I bounce all my ideas off of my mom. And what makes my mom so cool is that not only does she like say, oh yeah, no, maybe I don't understand that. Like she'll sometimes say, that's a little out there or whatever, but she's like, well, we'll make it happen. And she is in here moving stuff, getting things together. Like she's like older, but she still like will help me like, you know, do whatever and execute an idea. She comes to all my events. She shows up and she like loves being there. So I really look up to my mom. She is like so like badass to
me. Yes, I saw her helping out for the holiday party. Know, she did so much.
Yeah, and she created the balloon installation.
Oh my God, that was hard work. That was intense.
I know. My mom's, she's so crazy. Like we were trying to figure out how to work the balloon blowing thing. And like, I try not to take it for granted because I have friends whose moms and parents are just like, oh my gosh. So like, not only are they uninvolved, but they're kind of horrible people. And so I just try to take, even though like my mom is the most present parent I have, I'm just still thankful that I have at least one parent who is like hands-on, you know, because some people just don't have that. And I am like 28. She's still so hands-on. And, you know, I'm like so thankful. Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out to your mom.
I know.
What is your morning and evening routine look like? Walk me through it.
Oh, I can walk you through my this morning.
So, because you have the day off.
Yeah, correct. Correct. So on my days on, I wake up at 5 a.m. I usually hit snooze about 3 or 4 or 5 times. So I end up waking up at like 5:15. Then I like jump out of bed because I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm going to be really late. And so then I run, I shower super quick. I always have to lotion my whole body. It's like my personal time to myself that I just have to lotion. I get super ready, like quick. Everything has to be super quick, right? So I get ready and I leave the house by 6 and I'm at work by like 6:25 to start work at 6:30. Kind of super close. Super close.
At least you're not late, like
right,
me.
Right. I'm at work by 6:30. And then some days we start work at 6 and then I just like push it back and I'm awake by like 4:45 or whatever.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. How do you do it?
I don't know. So I'm up really early and then I, at work, like work is just absorbs my life. We usually round, like on the unit I was at, we usually round from 6:30 to like 8 or 9 a.m. Sometimes 10 a.m. And I just want to like die if it's 10 a.m. because it's standing walking rounds. And then I like start my day, I get coffee, and then I like get busy and just try to like check off all the things that we talked about we're going to do for the patient throughout the day. And then I'm home by, I don't know, 7:30 or 8:30, kind of depends. Sometimes 10, depending on what happened throughout the day. So those are like my days on, like the standard. And on my way out, like if I'm leaving work at 7:30, I'll grab something from the cafeteria or like Aban Pan, which is downstairs in my at the hospital, and grab like soup or something and eat it on the way home, like on the go. And I get home, wash my face and go to bed. Like that is literally like my routine. Like go home, wash my face, go to bed. On my days off, oh my gosh, I like linger. Like I set my alarm every day for 10 a.m. And if I wake up before then great. But if not, then whatever.
10 a.m. is like the best time to wake up. It's not too late. It's not too early. It's perfect.
Correct. And so what happens is on my days on, I end up getting between 4 and 6 hours of sleep. for whatever reason, I don't understand it, but I can never sleep. So like, I have to like catch up on the sleep. That actually is not, doesn't work. It's not a real thing. Like, you know, like sleep debt. Like, yeah. You can't like make up for lost sleep.
Deficit. Yeah, that's not a thing. It's not, it has to be consistent 8 hours.
But in my mind, like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So depending on what happens, I will like wake up really late, like just kind of, I'm kind of like a slug, and I just kind of like roll with the punches and just kind of go with my day. I'll like have breakfast, and breakfast might be like a cup of tea or and a fruit.
Maybe. What kind of tea?
So right now I'm really into masala chai tea. This like from this Indian tea. Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's a little splash of like half and half. It's so delicious. It's so,
I need to try it.
Yeah, it's like cinnamony and nutmeg and like, you know, all those like yummy flavors. It's so good. Or rooibos tea, which is an African tea. It's a red bush tea. Or this African black tea that I drink sometimes. Just something to just like start my day.
And they're all caffeinated, right?
The rooibos is not, but the other two are. Yeah, the other two are for sure. And then I kind of like linger. Like my days off just vary. Like sometimes I'll get up and I have to get out of the house and go and do something, like go out shopping. Sometimes I get up and come here and do some work here. Sometimes I get up and I have errands to run, which I usually do because my days on are all consuming. Like I'm at the hospital and that's all I've done for that whole day, you know? Sometimes I'll go grocery shopping. I usually pick up my mom and run errands with her. Sometimes I'll clean at home. Like it's so varied, you know, what I do with my days off. It just varies.
And you enjoy the process of cleaning because at least you're not at the hospital.
Correct. Yeah, it varies. Yeah, what I do with my days off.
What is your favorite skincare at the moment? Cleanser, moisturizer, serum?
So I was using a Drunk Elephant sample that I got, and I was like, oh, I really like this. It was like a peptide cream and like this foaming cleanser type thing. And actually, I was okay with it. It worked pretty well. But for some reason, I feel like I have to change my skincare all the time. I don't know how you feel.
I feel the same way. I like changing it up.
Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, now my skin's used to it. It's not
responding. It stops working. No, I think that's a thing. It really is.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not working anymore. So I just bought Mario Badescu. I got the enzyme cleanser, the green one. And then I got the rosehip oil. It's like a whole pack. So rosehip oil. And then there was like some type of a seaweed night cream. So I'm going to try it. I haven't tried it. That was my
time. I tried the cleanser. I like the cleanser.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Because I love the little like refresher sprays.
Me too. Those are great. I love face mists.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. But so that's what I'm using. And water.
Lots of water. Yeah. Same. I've been trying to drink more water.
Yeah. So helpful.
I've been trying to cut out dairy this month because I think that it's the reason why I still break out.
Good for you.
I have like this disgusting sit right now, as you can see. It's horrible.
As I'm squinting to try and see it.
It's right there. I tried to pop it. But yeah, I still break out and I think dairy's the culprit. So I'm going to try and cut out dairy this month. Yeah. Yeah. All it takes is one yogurt for me to break out.
Really?
Yeah. Even just one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's crazy.
But I'm trying to cut out cheese too. So all dairy.
Good for you.
I just had oat milk with my iced coffee today.
How was it?
It was actually really good. Oh. I don't like almond milk in iced coffee, but oat milk was really good.
Oh, God. That's good to know. Yeah. I feel like it would be a little heartier.
Yeah, it is.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It felt more like half and half.
Yes. Exactly.
But less fatty.
So. Correct. Right, yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Noni.
Oh, thank you so much.
This was so informative.
This was great.
And as you guys can see, this is why I look up to her. She is such a badass hard worker and she never stops.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
And she never sleeps, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me.
So where can people find you?
People can find me on at Noni's World on Instagram, at Noni's World on Facebook, at Noni's World on Twitter, at Noni's World on Pinterest, and newly at Noni's World on TikTok. You can also find me on YouTube. I used to have a YouTube channel and I'm starting that up again this year. And it's Noni's World on YouTube as well. And then of course I have my physical blog, which is www.noniesworld.com. And Noni is N-O-N-E-E-S. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.